Hey guys, welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. This is Cam. A couple of years ago, I used to run a podcast called the On Tap Podcast, and I actually stumbled upon the hard drive that had all of my old episodes on it. So, just for fun, I'm cutting out some bits and pieces from some of the episodes, and we're going to rehost them here on Pacific Beer Chat. And if they get any traction, then maybe we'll record some more. So let us know what you think. And yeah, without any further ado, here's a couple clips from On Tap Podcast, our episode on Saisons and our episode on Pilsners. Thanks and enjoy. So Jared, why don't you tell us a bit about Saisons while we're...
Saisons, Cameron. Well, Saison, French word for season.
The Grade 8 French is coming back to me now.
So this style originates in an area of Belgium called Wallonia, which is a French-speaking region of Belgium. And Saisons are farmhouse-style ales. And what that means is that these beers were brewed in the farmhouse during the cooler, less active farming months of the year. So over fall and winter, after you got your crops off and you're kind of settled in, you brew a beer that you're going to store until summer.
Ah.
And it gets its name, Saison, from les saisonniers, which are your seasonal workers, your summer seasonal workers.
Ah, yes.
Who drink it. Who were entitled to up to 5 liters a day that they would drink while they worked.
A day?
5 liters while they worked.
Can we go back in time?
Let's bring that back, though. Like, we can go and pick back, berries in the summer and demand our 5 liters of beer.
Have you ever picked berries, though, Jared?
You'd need 5 liters of beer?
It's terrible. Oh, terrible work.
All right. So what makes Saisons special is that they're all unique. The idea of a farmhouse style ale was that it was unique to that farmhouse. Every farmhouse had a different recipe, they had different brewing styles, and beyond that, they each had unique microflora. So they had their own yeast strain that was natural to their tank.
Oh.
And these weren't really maybe the hygienic systems that beer is brewed in today. So
you can imagine. That's how you get flavor.
That's how you get flavor. So Saisons are always character beers. So they're usually a highly carbonated. They can be very fruity. They can be very spicy. Sometimes they're brewed with spice added, like orange zest or coriander or ginger. And usually you get a very flavorful, malt-forward, zesty, lively summer beer.
Very refreshing.
A refreshing summer beer.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's stop talking about them and let's drink one.
I like that idea.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the bat, you get a very citrusy, fruity flavor. Like, you can taste orange zest for sure.
Yeah. Very highly carbonated. Very clear and light colored.
Yeah, actually, I thought we'd be drinking cloudier Saisons, but this one is actually...
This is almost like apple juice levels of clarity, even lighter.
Yeah, very light in color.
You definitely get those spice notes on the back of your tongue. A little more of a savory to the sweetness and zest.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very tasty. Very refreshing.
There is some spice to it, but not... It doesn't overpower it, just kind of gives it a character.
It just adds some body to it.
Definitely malt forward, not very bitter at all.
Saisons generally are great for balancing overly sweet or savory flavors of food, right? So
think of sugar and spice, makes everything nice.
Indeed.
So you get your spicy Saison.
Yeah.
And you have a sweet food.
Well, because it's such a light and zesty, very lively on the tongue, right? It's an excellent palate cleanser, for sure.
I think they also work good with, because it's en français, your fromage,
aged
cheeses.
Indeed.
And kind of general charcuterie.
Maybe a little foie gras. Foie gras and saison.
I think, actually, fatty foods is one of the other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't joking.
You really weren't joking. But a farmhouse ale goes good with a farmhand's breakfast. So it goes good with charcuterie, like cured meats.
Yeah.
Pickles. Cheeses. I think this would go really good with a really juicy, fatty burger.
Yeah. Summer barbecue beer?
Yeah.
If you don't want a lager, or if you want to try something different, I would definitely suggest a Saison.
It's a light beer, but with more... You still get that ale ester that you don't get in a lager.
It's got a lot more depth.
But still very light.
Actually, my wife absolutely loves Saisons, so...
Oh, there you go. Brownie points, then. You can go to the liquor store, buy beer, and get home, and your wife's happy about it.
That's right.
There you go.
So, if you
just cracked the code.
If you have a picky beer drinker, or somebody who says they don't like beer, try a Saison. See what they say about that.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. Why not? We got one more beer to try today. To round out episode 4, and we're going to try a Four Winds Saison. Four Winds Saison is available in a 4-pack of bottles.
Indeed.
And I've seen it around for a while. It's one of Four Winds in Delta, one of their main brews.
Yep, and it's tasty. This is another one that my wife absolutely loves.
Lots of carbonation. Good head on that.
Darker color than the... Central City. Yeah. A lot clearer as well.
Very light and smooth, and yet a deep, again, a citrus flavor.
I feel this one is a lot fruitier than the Detective.
Yeah, you know what? The Detective was, and I think this went with the whole character thing, it was smooth and dry.
Yes.
Like a detective in a comic book. And this is a lot more... Definitely floral. I feel like there's a little bit of grapefruit taste.
Well, the aromatics are noble hops, and they finish it with Pacific Northwest Cascade hops.
Certainly more hops than the last one.
Personally, I prefer this one as it's a little more hop forward, but not in your face at all.
No.
I would say the Central City Detective Saison has more of a malt profile, whereas this has more of a hop profile to it.
Okay. I was going to say that I think the... So we tried one end of the spectrum with all of the IPAs. Now we're trying very malt forward side of the spectrum. And so there's still some hop flavor in this for sure. But the Saisons are showing that trait of ales in that you get all of that... In when you're brewing in a warmer temperature,
yep,
you get those esters fermenting, and you get, in one case, you get very hop-centric flavor, and in this case, you get very fruity and floral essence.
Absolutely. And this goes back to your history lesson, where no two Saisons are going to be the same.
That's right. And so we tried both, like a golden pale ale sort of Saison, using, I'm guessing... pale malts, but Saisons can be any color depending on what kind of malt you use. So yes. You can find dark Saisons, you can find amber Saisons, red Saisons.
So the Central City Detective Saison is a 6% ABV and 24 IBU.
That's correct. Four Winds Saison, 6.5% ABV and 30 IBUs. And like I said, available in a 4-pack of bottles or on tap year-round at Four Winds and Delta.
Yep, and you can see why they made it a year-round beer, because it is solid, and it's really hard to find a year-round Saison, so
Good it's on kind them. Of an oxymoron.
Yeah. It is, really, but...
There's lots of saisonnier in Delta, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, Cam, those big name beers. Today is our Pilsner episode, so...
Yes.
We're going to learn a little bit about what it means to be an American pale lager.
Oh. In a minute.
Yeah.
An American pale lager.
That's right.
I thought Pilsner was a Czech style.
It is. But, wait, you're jumping ahead on me, Cam. Okay.
All right, Jared. So, this being our Pilsner episode, shall we start with one of the more traditional, sticking to the style type beers?
Let's crack one open.
All right. So, beer number one tonight is the Hoyner Pilsner from Hoyne Brewing in Victoria. So the Hoyne Pilsner is 5.3% alcohol content. It's a traditional style Pilsner.
Let's take a sip. Let's try it out.
Cheers.
Prost.
Ah, yes.
Prost.
Cheers. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, a Pilsner should be golden in color, clear.
Yeah. That's two strikes.
Moderate head.
Yep.
And then when you taste it, should have a crisp bitterness to start. A little bit of hop character.
Yep.
But then smooth malt flavor like a lager.
We're checking all the boxes here, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I even get a bit of a, almost a honey to it there.
Yeah, I can taste that, for sure.
That's nice and smooth.
So this, I think, is meant to be a German-style Pilsner.
Okay.
It uses the Czech-style hops, the Saz, the Noble Saz.
Yep.
But it also has... I'm going to wreck the pronunciation. Hallertau, Hersbrucker, and German Spalter. And then using Pilsner malts, so pale malt.
Yep.
And you get that hop character first, and very nice, clean, crisp lager.
Very nice, indeed. I mean, there's not much more to be said about it. It's a nice, smooth, easy drinking, incredibly well bodied for something that's as light as it is.
Do you want me to go? Here, Cam. Let me do my history of Pilsner.
Give us a little bit of a history while of the I Pilsner. Finish this beer. I'm just going to sit back and relax.
So, the Pilsner. Was the world's first ever blonde lager. It was born in 1842 in the Bohemian city of Pilsen. Bohemia nowadays would be Czech Republic.
Okay.
Yeah. So, close to Bavaria, like northeast of Munich. So, as I said, Pilsners are meant to be a lager that is pale and golden in color, very clear, and then moderately hopped. So we talked in an earlier episode about the rise of lagers in the 19th century. Remember our episode where we did ales and lagers?
Yep.
So lagers only came about in the 15th and 16th centuries. So they don't have as long of history as ales. But with the rise of refrigeration, at first they were brewed in caves to keep them cool.
Yep.
With the rise of refrigeration, lagers became... much more popular across the world. And Pilsner is one of the examples of the type of lager that became hugely popular. It was very chic to drink a Pilsner in Europe in the mid-19th century.
Oh, that's everywhere now, too, isn't it?
Yeah, they say Pilsners today are over two-thirds of the beers that are drank in the world. Or beers that are derived from a Pilsner style. So
that's much more than I expected it to be.
Pilsners, like European Pilsners, include Stella, Beck's, Amstel, Grosch, Warsteiner, Heineken, and then even all of our American-style pale lagers are based on that Pilsner style, adapted to North America. And now some of them use even rice or corn, but still based on that idea of using a pale malt to get, along with bottom fermenting yeast, a very crisp, hop-forward lager.
Okay.
So, Pilsners come from the town of Pilsnen. Basically, this town, they were having problems with the consistency of their ales. Either they were varying too much in flavor, or they weren't keeping well. And actually, in 1838, the town council ordered a bunch of kegs of ales to be dumped in public because the quality was so poor. So shortly after that, the people of Pilsen got together and formed a burger brewery, which is a citizens brewery. It's like if you and me and all the people of our town decided one day, our beers are really crappy, let's all build a public brewery.
Let's all get together.
Yeah.
That's priorities right there. They had their priorities straight.
They knew what was important, right?
Exactly.
And so at the time, lagers were becoming very popular in Bavaria, nearby. And so they built a state-of-the-art brewery in the Bavarian style. And they even brought in a Bavarian brewer to come and brew for them, named Joseph Grohl. Now, Joseph came to Pilsen and decided he was going to do something a little bit different. Instead of using darker colored malts that were common at the time, he kilned his malts so that they were very pale. Then he used those bottom fermenting yeasts that were popular and ended up with this Pilsner style of beer. Now, first, it became widely popular in Pilsen and then spread to Bavaria and all of Germany, and within 50 years, it was the most popular style in all of Europe.
Well, that's setting a trend right there.
Yeah. They say that also Pilsners, the rise of the Pilsner also coincided with the rise of affordable, high-quality glassware. So a regular person could afford a nice glass, which really helped to show off that golden clear color.
And it's extremely important in beer quality too.
Yeah, for sure. So suddenly it was the chic thing to drink a Pils.
Oh, yes. Pinky out.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Paris to Vienna. Mm. I will drink Pils. So nowadays, so many of the major beer brands out there are all Pilsner styles, and you can still drink the original Pilsner, known as Pilsner Urquell. You've probably seen it before.
I've not only seen it, I've had it.
Urquell is German, meaning Ur is original, and Kell is source. So it's Pilsner from the original source.
Ah.
Yeah. There you go.
Very nice.
Next time, you're out with your friends, and they're drinking macro brews, and you can say, that's an American pale lager. Very similar to the Pilsner of Czech Republic.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, there you go. That's my history of the Pilsner.
And you know what?
What?
It still tastes damn good today.
Yeah, absolutely.
173 years later, still damn good beer.
I think... That's good math, actually.
Yeah.
I think... the interesting thing is, I think that the Pilsners that are made by craft breweries today are even getting more distinct flavors than you'll find from the other lager, the macro lagers, yeah. You know?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're hopping them, they're using malts. Well, I mean, you look at the macro brews now, they're using rice, they're using corn, they're using anything they can that's cheap and mass-produced. That will give them that quote-unquote easy drinking, which to me translates as tastes like not much at all, so that you serve it
friggin' cold in a frosted mug, and it goes down like water because that's basically all it is.
If it goes down quick, you can maybe sell more.
True. And if you're mass producing it at a cheap price, then the more you sell, the more profit you're making. But sometimes quality beats out quantity.
Well, I think quality beats out quantity all the time, but it's okay, Cameron.
I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you on that. I think we're both on the same page here. We're arguing the same point.
I think we're preaching to the choir.
Indeed. So
that was your daily rant from Cam about macro brews.
Speaking of
more,
go
to our website.
we would have to actually post on our website for more to be there.
Yeah.
So speaking of more original or more flavorful Pilsner.
Well, now we have a different style of Pilsner coming up next.
So our next beer is the Steel and Oak Red Pilsner. And I know a lot of you thinking Red Pilsner. I thought he said, Jared was just saying that Pilsners are golden and clear and...
Pale malts.
Pale malts.
Yeah.
Well...
So a red Pilsner, is going to use some sort of reddish malt.
They're
going to
mix in a bit more of a caramel malt in with their pale malts in order to get that nice copper color.
Interesting.
So it's a bit closer to a dark lager, but it's a good in-between of a Pilsner and a dark lager. And I think you'll find that the malt flavor kind of carries through a bit more on these ones, but they're quite delicious.
Damn, we haven't even opened it yet. So just save it for 1 second. All right, I'm trying this blind. I haven't tried this before, so I'm excited. All right,
Steel and Oak. If you're out there listening, we will make it out there one day. I've been there before, but I'll bring Jared out. We'll come on I think it's Wednesday nights that they do their vinyl nights. So if you bring in your vinyl, your records...
Oh, man.
They'll play them for you. So hopefully we can make it out there for one of those. And I got a couple records that I could bring, and it'll be a good time.
Cool. Vinyl night. I have to bring, like... Let's go get Sgt. Pepper's or something.
So as you can see with our pour... It's a nice copper color. It's still quite light.
Yeah,
for sure. It's not a super dark color, but you've got a red tint to it. Nice.
Same
foamy
clarity,
head on it.
Very clear.
There's a bit more of a head to this one than the last one we poured.
Yeah.
But same clarity. It's just a little bit of a darker tint to it. But
let's try it. Prost.
Cheers.
Cam, you got to learn here. Prost. We're
Prost?
Yeah, Prost. I think so.
I mean, there's plenty of different cheerses we could do. We could, if you want to do it Irish, we could do Sláinte, but that's more of a stout.
So we're Pilsners tonight.
Pilsners.
Bohemia.
So Bohemia, Bavaria.
The German-speaking area.
Prost.
That's right.
Yes.
You probably say it better than I do. Say it again.
Prost.
Excellent. Or bottoms up. As we say in Canada. Very smooth. Maybe not the same hop character up front as I found in the Steamworks or in the Hoyner.
You get it more at the back end, I think. The hop.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But that malt character is a little more prevalent in this one than it is in the...
You do taste a little bit of like a caramel.
It's almost got a bit of a smokiness to it.
Yeah.
It's a very nice beer. I mean, this Steel and Oak, I find across the board, has very good beers. And they don't do a lot of different styles, but what they do is quality. They're kind of like a mainland version of Driftwood.
Sure.
Where they don't put out a ton of different styles, but the ones they do focus on are all hits.
I think that kind of, you can see that even in their label. Like, it's a fairly minimalist label.
Yeah.
S&O, red pilsner, white background, no real graphics other than their logo and the title.
You know what? Those bottles on the shelf stand out from all the other
Absolutely.
Ones.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to do...
Clean, concise, like a good lager.
We'll have to do... I don't know if it's worthy of an episode, but maybe just a best labels.
I think we should.
Kind of theme for one of our podcasts.
And they're getting... Labels are...
And you know what? Tweet us with some of your suggestions for best labels, because...
At OnTapPod. Send us your tweets.
Just, yeah.
We know some of you are actually listening. There are a few of you out there that listen to this.
There are literally dozens. Dozens of them.
Like at least two of them. Two dozens, maybe.
You know what? The more I drink of this, the more I'm falling in love with this red pilsner.
Very tasty.
And pilsners are actually some of the first beers that I drank when I got into just drinking beer in general. I mean, I know you're saying the macros are based off of pilsner. But even, like, I look at when I started drinking, and Grolsch was one of my go-tos.
Sure.
And now, you know, transitioning into craft beer, I've moved more towards the ale side, but... Pilsner's kind of got me back into the lagers. And now, as you said, there's room under the tree.
What do I always say, Cam? There's plenty of room under the tent.
There's plenty of room under the tent.
It's a big tent. Yes. Craft beer is a big tent.
It's what you've always preached, Jared.
There's room for everyone to enjoy whatever beer they like, Cam. I'm trying to think. As far as lagers go, I think Pilsner is the style. Probably it's the most widely available style of lager, but it's also the style I think I enjoy the most out of lagers. Maybe barring some really special...
Some specialized
like a,
dark
I like
lagers.
A dark lager every now and then. But if I'm just going to sip on a lager, a Pilsner style is probably my go-to.
I'll agree with you on that. If you're going out and you've got the choice between a basic lager or a pilsner, I will probably choose a pilsner every time.
Yep. Something like the Steamworks that we drank at the start, that's something I'd choose when I'm doing my barbecuing or whatever in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. It's a great summertime beer. I mean, pilsners are great year-round, really, but especially if you get into these red or the darker pilsners that are kind of a more of a specialty style that really don't technically fit the pilsner mold, but they're good for a more year-round if you want a bit more of a malty, robust character for when you get into the autumn and winter months.
For sure.
All right, guys. Sorry about the very abrupt ending, but a lot of the stuff we talked about near the end of those episodes does not pertain to modern-day beer in Vancouver, or modern-day in general. So thanks for listening. Let me know if you enjoyed this little throwback to the On Tap podcast, and maybe we can find an excuse to get the old scripts out and get the old research books out and do a couple more. We always plan to do more on each different style of beer, and as life does, it just got in the way. Jared and I both had kids and mortgages and jobs, and now things are starting to stabilize a bit more, and maybe we can find an excuse to get together and drink a couple beers and record a couple episodes. But as far as the Pacific Beer Chat side of things goes, we'd like to thank our Patreon supporters. Of course, there's Indie Beer Show out of San Diego, and Steve our co-host, and if you'd like to support us on Patreon, Mike will tell you about it at the end of the episode here. So cheers, everybody, and hope you enjoyed.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.